Welcome everyone here this morning, and I greet you in Jesus' name, the one who designed this institution of marriage and cares very much about our marriages. Thank you, Justin, for that song, at 909, I Would Be True, and if you think about some of those words, if we would all practice them in our marriages every day, we could have a really good marriage. And not like we don't have good marriages, but it could be better if we would practice those words of learning to be pure, be strong, to care, to forget about ourselves and think about those around us. It could be very much better for our marriages. So for our topic this morning, Ralph introduced it already, personalities in the image of God, and I'm not a real big word person, and when Tony had sent this to me and wanted to know if I wanted to share on this word intrinsic, sort of caught me off guard, and it's like, well, what is that? I had to look it up. And I've seen the word. I do a little bit of volunteer firefighting, and you see on pagers and radios sometimes that they are intrinsically safe, and that means that they will not cause an explosion in a dusty or explosive environment. And I trust that we look at that word in our marriages, that we're not at the point of exploding. But this use of the word is to recognize the value of our spouse, and it's the perceived or calculated value or the measure of worth. So as we look at our spouse, do we understand the value and what God has given us, what a blessing it is for us? God cares very much about marriage. We know that God designed it. And I believe that marriage is God's crowning beauty of the creation. If you think of all the other ways that God made animals to reproduce, and God designed marriage as a very sacred, very close relationship between a man and a woman for life. I'd like to turn to Genesis, get a little bit of a picture of what God designed, get a perspective of that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And it's sort of hard for me to comprehend. We view God as masculine or more male, but God says that man was created in his image, male and female. And I don't understand all that perspective, but we know that God made us that way. And as I was younger, I couldn't quite understand why God had to say in Genesis that he created male and female. It's so obvious, but as the world gets more perverted and more confused, I understand more why God stated in the Bible that he made male and female. Because we understand that needs to be a very concrete thing in our minds. Genesis 2. Verse 18 to 23, this is a little bit more perspective. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." The thought that Adam, God had told Adam, said it was not good that man was alone. And I believe that God brought all these species in front of, before Adam, so that he could get a picture that there was nothing out there that could meet his needs, that was the same as him, the same species. And I know sometimes as husbands and wives, the way we think different, you wonder sometimes if you're even the same species. But God made, did that for Adam to establish in his mind that this is the same. And I believe that that's why God made woman from man, so that he could get that picture. And Adam saw all these animals, and there was not somebody for Adam. But then in verse 23, after Adam had that rib taken out of him, he wakes up and he says, and I believe that Adam was excited when he woke up. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He was excited that here was somebody that was the same as him. It was a very personal thing to Adam, and I think he appreciated it. He valued that. Do we, like Adam, cherish our spouse? I'd like to look at some differences to help us appreciate what we actually are, to appreciate the value of our spouse. I'd like to look at some differences between male and female. Obviously, there's basic physical differences, but our makeup, men tend to be stronger physically, more rougher built, not refined, not as beautiful. They're taller. Women tend to be weaker physically, more refined, more beautiful, and they shorter in stature. Men tend to be more assertive or more aggressive, more risk takers, higher self-esteem, more factual. Like, they don't make decisions by emotions as much as they would make decisions more by facts and feelings. More by facts and not feelings. Emotionally, men tend to be more steady. Think about an issue and then make a decision. Men tend to like to fix an issue. Another thing about men is they do directions by directions, not quite like ladies do directions. Men like to communicate just more casually, side by side, have a conversation. Women tend to score higher on traits of anxiety, also on sympathy and affection. They are more tender-minded. They make decisions more by emotions or how it feels. They like to talk about an issue to make a decision. They tend to be more intuitive, or it just doesn't feel, they got this feeling about it. Women do directions by sight. Go to the red house and turn left. Not to a certain road. And women also like to communicate with more intense communications, sit down, look their person in the eye, and talk to them. We could spend a lot of time looking at differences, but I believe that as married couples, you should all be studying that in your spouse of differences and how to make the best of the differences. I'd like to look at our spouses as our hands, and I believe that everybody has two hands here. Look at your hands. They are totally opposite of each other, and we use opposites to, you pick up a book, you grab it like this, two opposite things working together. And I believe that as husbands and wives, we need to do that. We need to appreciate how that works of being different, but also working together. Your hands, you lay them flat on the table. Your thumbs are out different sides of your left and right. One of your hands tends to be stronger or more dominant. But do your hands fight? Do you ever go to pick up a box and the one smacks the other one and says, "No, I'm doing this. I'm the one in charge." It's not the way it works. They work together. And I believe that think about that as you and your spouse working together as a something that works together. Now, take your two hands and put them together like this. How many of you had to think how to fit your fingers together? It's not. It's something that, and I've seen little children sitting there doing that already, just, you know, maybe a one-year-old figuring out how to put their fingers together, but it is so natural to put our hands together that you don't even have to think through the process. And I'd like for us as spouses to, as we work together, think about that it becomes so easy, so natural. And it obviously, as long as we're both humans, so as long as we're both alive, it's not always going to be like that. But that is what we need to be working towards, of just fitting together and working together, not fighting or bickering about who's going to be in charge, who's going to control something, but that we work together. So how do we embrace our differences or our different strengths? To the men, do you ask your wife when making decisions? And then do you consider her input when you ask her and she gives her perspective of it? Do you consider that? Because that helps to bring balance to man. God said it's not good for a man to be alone, so if it's not good to be alone, then we obviously need input from our wives. And the women, do you allow your husband to give his input into your decisions? Do you honor his leadership? Do you make decisions by what you know he would like you to do? That is embracing the different aspects of our marriage. 1 Peter 3. Verse 1 to 7 talks about husband and wives working together. It says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." That first verse is saying that if a husband is not a believer, will he be drawn to the gospel that you as a wife are living, or will he be repelled from the gospel because of how you live. That is the difference it makes. By the life you live, will they be drawn to Christ or pushed away from Christ? Going to verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. To the husbands, do you dwell with your wife according to knowledge? The things that, as you study, as you learn what your wife's strengths and weaknesses are, do you use that against her, or do you use that to help her? Not to be critical, but to praise them for what they do good. And again, as two hands, do you let those opposites work together and do things, or is it a thing of fighting each other? Because I believe that all of us can find weaknesses in our spouse, and we can probably dwell on that. But if we do, we're not going to have a happy marriage. The goal is to have balance, and I believe that that's why men need a helpmeet and women need their husband, is because God knew that man tends to be one way, women tends to be the other, but as we work together, we become more like God. We become a more rounded or more complete whole being, sort of like Ralph shared last night. We are whole as individuals, but God wants us to be whole as couples too, to be more complete. The man is to lead out, and as he is more factual, not as emotional, women, are you learning to appreciate that? And husbands, appreciate the tenderness and the delicate nature of your wife, because we don't have that touch. I think it's just interesting as the women decorate and make things for this retreat, how much touch they have on the way things look. And to me as a man, it's like, oh yeah, it looks nice. But the details, it doesn't really matter a lot. But women have that touch, and we need to appreciate that as men. And women, just because men don't always get that, don't degrade them for that either. Think about areas that they are strong in. In our marriage, my wife is a person that likes to clean things up, and that's not the top of my list to be a organizer or cleaning things up. And sometimes that can actually rub me the wrong way when she cleans up my disorderly order. But I do appreciate, even if it rubs me a little wrong sometimes, I do appreciate her focus, her goal of keeping things organized, because I'm not that type of a person as far as letting papers lay around or whatever. That's not my bright spot. But appreciating what your spouse does do instead of letting it rub you the wrong way. communication our differences. Women tend to give your husbands time to process an issue before they talk about it or before you try to discuss it. Sometimes they can want answers quick. They want to talk about it. Men tend to like to think through issues, and so give them time to think. But when you men, as you think about it, then make sure you talk about it after you thought about it, because sometimes we tend to think about it and then go on to the next thing and don't really give our wives an answer. They still want to know. Proverbs 18:22 says that a wife is a good thing, and I think I'd like to look at that as a spouse, not just a wife. If you are a wife, then a husband is a good thing too. 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So whosoever findeth a spouse findeth a good thing. And then 19, verse 14, it says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So inheritance or things come from our parents, but a good spouse is a gift from God. And I think we need to recognize that, to appreciate what we have. I had to think, what if you don't feel like your spouse is a good spouse? What are you going to do about that? And I think Ralph answered some of those questions last night, is to be what we need to be first. And it's so easy in marriage to focus on what our spouse should be and skip ourselves. But I've told couples at weddings already that if they get to a place that they don't like something in their spouse, go stand in front of a mirror. Because that is where you can make the most difference to start. Yeah, your spouse might need to change some, but you can affect that change the most by what you are. Two people as a couple appreciating each other as a gift from God is what we need to be in our marriages. What is a gift? A gift is something that we don't really deserve. Something that is very valuable. And do we, as couples, do we view each day that we have together as a gift? And do we thank God for the gift of our spouse? I guess my burden is that we understand, that we comprehend the great value of gift that God has given to us. Because if we don't understand the value, then we aren't going to appreciate it as much. If you think about, if somebody handed you a clump of rock or dirt and you just look at it and it's like, well, that's just a clump of dirt. It's not worth much. But if you knew that dirt had gold mixed with it, you would not throw that out because of the value. And trust that as our spouses, if we appreciate, if we understand the gift God has given us, that we can look for the gold and understand that there's gold there. And as individuals, we're not totally incomplete or wrong the way God made you. God made each of us male or female. But just because your spouse thinks different than you, just because they process things different than you, doesn't mean that they're wrong either. I think it's good for us to understand the differences, but also appreciate our differences, to value them. I've heard people say already that sometimes your biggest strength is also your biggest weakness. And if we as couples learn to appreciate the differences, that can become our biggest strengths, because that makes it stronger. You think again about hands working together, the tighter the grip, it's two hands pressing together, opposites, bringing more strength. And your spouse is made in the image of God, just like you are, in his likeness. Every one of you, and I believe everyone here is married, had a choice in what type of person you married. Something about that personality stood out to you, something about their character. So as you get to 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 70 years of marriage, continue to value those. Prize that. Your spouse is a gem. And I've heard men arguing already about their wife being the best. And I'm like, well, good. I hope you think that, because every man should think that about his wife. And it's not even a worthwhile argument, because to them it should be. I'm glad you think that. Keep thinking that. But we need to keep appreciating as the years go on. We might not be totally refined, but the beauty and value is there if we keep polishing each other. And we don't like the things in life that rub or polish us, but to get a shine, we need polishing. And so as we work maybe against each other sometimes as spouses, that can help to polish us, make us more refined, to continue looking for the gold. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. It says, live joyfully with the wife. And I'd like to change that to spouse. Live joyfully with the spouse whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. To enjoy or appreciate your spouse. As married couples, you made that decision before you were married of which one you wanted to marry. That decision's made. We no longer have the option of trying to decide if that's the right one or not. It is the right one because that's who we chose, and we vowed to care for our wife or our husband. So we have made that decision, so we make the best of that decision. And even sometimes you see marriages where one of them is not putting their 100% in it. God still requires them to be faithful to each other, to appreciate each other, and God will hold them accountable for that. Proverbs 31, verse 10, says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Who can find a virtuous spouse? That is the value. It's way more than things. And I trust that as we work together in our marriages, that we can learn to appreciate, learn to find those things that are valuable in our spouse, that we can focus on that instead of maybe their bad habits or something that annoys us, because it's so easy to get focused on those sometimes, but to focus on the good things in our spouse and realize that every day is a gift and our spouse is a gift, and that we appreciate gifts. So to learn to love and appreciate that every day. I've seen couples that have lost a spouse maybe not very many years into their marriage, and the testimony they can have of appreciating the gift that they had when they had it. So to those of us that still have our spouses living, do you appreciate each gift? Do you appreciate that intrinsic value that God has given you? I want to give a little bit of time, I was going to mention at the beginning here, but a little bit of time to, especially for the men, to share a little bit of differences that have been a blessing to you and your spouse. Probably the reason I focus on the men is we tend to not do that as much as the ladies do, of sharing something that has been a good thing, a difference that has been a good thing in our spouse. So I'm going to open that up for a couple minutes here for the men to share of something in your marriage, in your spouse, that has been a difference, that has been a blessing or a strong point for your marriage.